Good morning, Mike. Great. How are you doing?
We are trying to sort through this roller coaster forecast. We had a little 70s, a little 30s. Well, that's just Indiana. So we'll get tough and keep our eye on that Halloween prize next Tuesday. But you folks have a busy Tuesday this Tuesday, Keith.
We've got a school board meeting tonight, Judy, and you have a special reception occurring before that.
Yeah, it is hard to believe that a year ago today, we were putting the final touches on a major push for our referendum. And as both of you know, boy, that took 6 years of serious planning. And we're so fortunate with the community that we live in for their support of that referendum on behalf of our students. But it's been, again, a year. So at our next board meeting, which is this evening, we'll be hosting a reception beginning at 5 p.m. for people that would like to come and kind of talk about the canvassing, the signs, all of the things that went into that referendum. And we'll host that here in our offices. And again, the public's invited to commemorate and thank again this wonderful community for their support.
Now, you also have coming up on November the 2nd, a community conversation. Tell the folks what that's about.
Yes, we're excited to host a conversation that our board has asked to talk again about school board redistricting. We had a work session, I believe it was last week.
Last Thursday.
And we talked extensively. We did a lot of research on putting together kind of the historical perspective on board districts. We did that also at a prior meeting. But after hearing all of that, the board asked that they actually have a community conversation so that those in the community who are very interested could have an opportunity to speak regarding the board redistricting. And I want to come back to that it is board redistricting because we've had numerous questions about students. But it is re-looking at those districts that our board school board members come from prior to the election, and then the board will be taking action either to relook at those districts and actually redo the districts, and if in fact they decide to do that, how exactly they would want to go about doing that. So we invite people to the CoLab, which is just across from our offices on Thursday, November 2nd, beginning at 5:30, to have that conversation.
And when we talk about the board redistricting, and we'll keep saying that, I like that word, board redistricting, because you're right, people are going to misconstrue that or they don't hear it properly. Is there some formal pattern? Is there a formal recommendation you need to follow that? I know this hasn't happened in such a long time. Is there state guidance there? Or how if you wanted to move forward, where do you start?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a great question, Mike. Actually, the board has reexamined their districts a couple of times, and we, again, on our website, people can see our historical perspective, even to the point where just as late as a few years ago, we relooked at the districts, and then as precincts actually split, we decided that we would go along with the county on the precinct splits. But the actual lines of the board districts did not change. So there is a legal process, as you can well imagine. Anything we do in public education seems to have a legal process. So there are various timelines and various pieces of information that we would have to post, and then certain waiting periods after posting those things and then taking comment. So there is a legal process that we would be actually moving through with our attorney, Mr. Bunger.
Yeah, so people aren't going to wake up on Monday morning and see the places the board's been redistricted. There's going to be plenty of time for input, and there's plenty of time to follow that roadmap that goes along with it.
Yes, that's correct. It will be very public and, again, following state guidelines that we would be in actuality doing this redistricting, and whether it be by a committee of the community and or a demographer, again, the board has that to determine, and I think the input that they get at the community conversation will help them make that determination.
And Judy, one of the things that comes out of this is that no matter what is done locally, the state board still has final say on what happens?
Yes. After any plan is changed, it goes to the State Board of Education for a final approval. Typically, those are approved because, again, it's a very extensive and long process that the community goes through to put those together. But there have been a few exceptions, particularly when communities are looking at the possibility of merging with another school district. In other words, their school district financially can't make it. They want to do some board redistricting. They take a plan to the state board, and the state board says, remember, you people probably can't financially make it, and you've got to merge with another district. I have seen that happen. But for the most part, the state board supports a change in those board districts.
Now, in the work session last Thursday, one of the things that was discussed was resolution, let's say, or the statement that the board will make on DACA?
Yes, the board actually has a statement on DACA, and they did a really nice job putting together a statement in terms of supporting kids that attend our schools and their families if, in fact, there should be a situation where authorities come to investigate the family and or the child. We do have protocols in place in each of our buildings whenever someone comes to talk with a child, and we certainly would follow those protocols, and always the best interest of the child is primary. So the board does have a statement regarding DACA. We've been asked to reinforce that a little stronger, so we do have a recommendation for a little stronger language in that will, again, be on the board agenda this evening for approval.
One of the other things that came out of the work session was the preliminary findings of the lunch program that came out of the fact that no one would ever be denied a hot lunch. And there's a couple of things that struck me on that one. One was that we're already several thousand dollars in the red on that. And the projection that if we continue the way we're going now, we could be $50,000 in the red on the lunch program. And where do we go from there? What is there anything else we can do on that?
Well, again, the board took action this summer to make sure that all students received the same lunch. And we have processes put in place to remind parents of the bills that have accumulated. And we also have three wonderful people from the community who are working with our social workers to talk with parents who are struggling to pay their children's lunch as we go through the course of the year. We are doing a really good job of communicating with families and letting them know, and then asking if they need assistance, asking if they need paperwork, if in fact they qualify for free or reduced lunch. We do not contact those parents of free and reduced lunch children, but we do for families who are not paying, who aren't on free and reduced lunch, to offer the fact that they can fill out the paperwork at any time, in fact, if they qualify for free and reduced lunch. So we will continue that process along with our advocates, and our foundation has been excellent about trying to go to the community and ask for donations. We have a donation fund set up through the education group, and they have gone out to the community to have various fundraisers to have some money to offset the deficit. But the fact is that we are at a deficit, and there aren't many people donating to that right now, so we're going to step up our efforts in that regard.
Dr. Judy DeMuth is our guest this morning. She's the superintendent of the MCCSC. And as we get to tonight's meeting, as we, we're going to be in Thanksgiving break before you know it. Don't blink. The holidays are going to be here.
It's hard to believe. It is hard to believe. But I do want to say one thing, Mike, because that's a great point. On November 7th, students will not be in session. And I know that sometimes, you know, kids come home and say, don't have school tomorrow. And I want to make sure parents all know that truly students will not be in session on November 7th. That's a big in-service day for us. And so, again, when your child comes home and says on November 7th they don't have school, they really don't. So I wanted to make sure all parents
That's election day with no election, right, Keith?
That's election day with no election. Right. That's right.
But we just have to keep that in the calendar so everybody knows what's happening. On. Go ahead.
Well, Judy, you had we don't often hear of this with schools, but you're having a ribbon cutting?
Yes, we have actually two exciting ribbon cutting ceremonies coming up. This Friday, the Career Center, which are a bunch of wonderful high school students who are trying to learn various skill sets and trades, have actually built a shelter house at Childs Elementary. And so we will be having a ribbon-cutting ceremony for that structure. And the Childs staff and students are very excited. And the second one takes place on October 30th to dedicate the Panda Pride Nature Preserve at Highland Park Elementary. And so we've had parents and community members work with them to put a nature preserve together behind Highland Park, and we'll have that dedication again, like I said, on Monday, October 30th.
Wow, real panda bears. That's cool.
That's right.
Now,
it's not Panda Express. It's Panda Bears. There you go.
That's it.
You also have a community function coming up on November 9th with ICPE. Explain that.
Yes. We're very fortunate to have our State Superintendent of Public Instruction joining us, Jennifer McCormick, and we'll be co-hosting that on Thursday, November 9th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. in our co-lab. You know, we've been very fortunate that our state superintendents, when Glenda Ritz was in the position and now with Jennifer McCormick, they do come to Bloomington and take time with our parents. So we'd like to invite our community members and parents to that event again on November 9th, 7 to 8:30 at the co-lab.
Now, before we let you go, how are we doing on preschool issues?
Wow. You know, preschool is such a great, we're in a great place in Indiana right now because there were some pilot preschools prior to this year. This year, Monroe County was one of the counties that can take advantage of some vouchers for preschool. And, of course, there are requirements in terms of eligibility, but all of our preschools here in Monroe County do qualify for that. So if we have people who qualify for vouchers as early as in January, this community will have 50 vouchers, and we're hoping we get some children, new children, to our preschools. As you know, we're always trying to increase our preschools. We've grown them dramatically, and we'll continue to do that. But we're very fortunate in Monroe County that our community foundation actually has gotten that money and will be assigning vouchers to various preschools in our community. So as many of those little ones as we can get in our high-quality preschools, the better off we'll be.
And wrapping things up, we haven't spoken to you since the Auxilio contract situation ended. I know that if you could go back and do some things again, I'm not sure what that would be, but I would guess it would not involve Auxilio. Are you happy with where everything is right now, and how have the last couple weeks been?
Yes, that's a great question, Mike. Yes, we did take all over our routes. We have all of our routes, but eight of our owner-operated contractors. And, you know, we had to do a lot of work behind the scenes to financially be able to add buses to our fleet. And then also the board took action to increase all those salaries. So we are very fortunate that we, as of today, I was told that we only have three of our maintenance people driving, which in the past 3 years, we've had all of our maintenance, which was 12 people driving every single day. So you can imagine some of those things that they were responsible for never got done. So we're down to three as of today. And Monday, we've had so many applicants. We think it'll be the first time in 3 years, like I said, that we won't have any of our maintenance people driving. So we're very excited about that. We've got the buses. We have enough spares. We've taken on those routes. And I think it's really a great situation for our families and our students.
Excellent. We just wanted to hear an update on that, and we thank you for it. What time is showtime tonight, Keith?
6 o'clock for the board meeting.
And what time is the reception, Dr. DeMuth?
Begins at 5 o'clock in the same offices as the board meeting.
Excellent. So you one-stop shopping on that. So a big night over at East North Southwest Drive, and we'll do that tonight. Thank you for your time, as always. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a great week.